Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. We ask that you hold your phone calls until after the top of the hour news, but if you want to jot the phone number down now, it's 541-472-1270. Reminder that when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue, and as soon as we complete the thought that's wrong, we'll put you on the air live. Just one brief announcement. Beginning tomorrow, you may be aware that there are six school board seats up for grabs in the upcoming May election. That means that there are 12 candidates here, and we have contacted all 12, and they have agreed to appear on our air beginning tomorrow. We'll have four guests tomorrow, then this same time period from 9:30 until 10:30, and the same on Thursday and Friday to give you a chance to hear all 12 candidates for these school board seats. Tomorrow's guests begin with Corinne Godfrey, Cassie Wilkins, Cameron Kemp, and Bill Ertel in that order. Now let's get down to business today. It is the second Tuesday of the month. That means we have city staff in studio here. We have all of our seats are taken today, as a matter of fact. Let's start with City Manager Aaron Kubik. Aaron, welcome.
Good morning.
Glad to have you here with us this morning. I have a few questions for you and for your guests today already.
Okay. All right. That's good.
Let's start first of all because there is a special business session this afternoon for the City Council.
There is.
All right. And there's only one item on the agenda, and
yep,
that's camping areas for the homeless.
Resting
sites.
Yes.
Okay. Can you give us any information on what to expect this afternoon? Are we looking at acquiring another area, or what kind of areas are up for grabs? Can you answer any of those questions at this point?
I can provide some information, and the rest can be provided, and people can tune in or stop by the workshop and listen in on what we're going to be discussing. But council's looking at different and additional opportunities for resting sites for individuals that are unhoused. So we're going to primarily be focusing on areas that the city owns and properties that the city owns and what locations we might be able to have to increase our inventory of available resting spots.
All right. One of the items in the current injunction includes pavement. Does the city have any of those? And I was under the impression that decomposed granite properly installed would satisfy ADA requirements, but the judge doesn't seem to think that's right. Am I correct in that?
So I think really it comes down to ADA compliance. I'm not going to get into a huge amount of detail on that, but there are a number of different surfaces that are ADA compliant according to the definition for the state of Oregon. And so it is our intent for us to make sure that we have a surface that complies with the ADA definition.
All right. Now, that meeting begins at 3 this afternoon, if I'm correct.
And, yes.
The public is welcome to attend, but there will be no public input in this one. This is a business session. This is not a business session. This is a workshop.
Yeah, it's a workshop. So there is no public comment on this one, but there is an opportunity for council to provide direction to staff on potentially identifying additional resting sites.
All right. And it will be streamed on YouTube through the
yes,
city's website.
That is correct.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Wanted to get that one out of the way. Lots of questions there. Anything else that you want to bring to the table right now?
Well, I know we've got our public works crew here, and there we have some discussion there. I can fill in some other spots that might be of interest. We do have strategic planning for council coming up in the next couple of weeks, which is exciting, and we're doing that before the budget process. We are also working on the budget process internally. I've been meeting with the department heads and my colleagues to go over what those numbers look like. And then we are waiting to finalize that until we're done with the strategic plan process and get clear direction from council.
We're a little late in the strategic planning process, and I know it was scheduled earlier. Was just a conflict of schedules that delayed it?
It was. There was a couple of other things that came up that just really trumped that. Not that strategic planning is important, but there are some more time-sensitive issues that council needed to address. And so we rescheduled it for the next couple of weeks. And so it is tight time schedule, but it still is something that we can work with.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll move on down the road here. Public Works and Jason, welcome. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How much fluoride are you pumping into our water?
None.
Okay. Really?
Absolutely none.
I didn't realize that.
No, we do not fluoridate the water.
Okay. I'm almost surprised to hear that. I almost expected a yes, because that seems to be the standard for many, many years. But recently, the
It is not a requirement to add fluoride to the water, and it is in Oregon. It is a community by community discussion point, and Grants Pass has never elected to fluoridate the drinking water.
All right, based on what? Do you know? Never have.
Never have. Yeah, I don't have an opinion on this one. It's just that we've never added it.
Discussion never came up from the public policy perspective.
All right. I remember as a young boy, and you got to have fluoride in the water to take care of your teeth, but evidently there is enough fluoride floating around right now in toothpaste and mouthwashes and everything.
Well, and there's a little bit of naturally occurring fluoride in the water that just comes from minerals, but we have not fluoridated. We are not planning to fluoridate. That'd be a community decision, a policy decision by the board.
Okay, all right. Well, that's interesting news because that's been in the headlines here, so I had to ask. So do you know what kind of percentage is just flowing naturally in terms of that?
It's not an amount that would be considered beneficial from a dental perspective.
No. How measurable is it? Just a trace.
Trace amount.
Just curious. I had to ask. All right. Yeah. Now tell me about Fifth Street.
No. we're actually going to let Wade tell you about Fifth Street. I know the project has started and it's been a lot less smooth. A lot less smooth than I was hoping it was going to come out. It has not gone according to plan for the first couple of weeks. So with that, I'm going to kind of let Wade give you an update on why it hasn't gone so well and what we can expect in the future.
Okay, wait. We knew this project was coming.
Yeah.
But
we've been planning.
Suddenly
for
one morning, I couldn't get onto M Street.
All right. Right. Yeah. We've been planning for this project for a while. This is a project that. The sewer line was old and had to get replaced, and they turned the old sewer line into a stormwater line and put a new sewer line in, and that line is also so old that we need to replace the sewer line again. So this one's been on our docket for a while, but right now there was some delays around M Street and some detours, and the reason for that is that we were bypass pumping the sewage system so that we could replace the sewer pipe. So to do that, they'll put in a mini ball or something that will be a blockage in the sewer line, and then they pump it out of there with a pump, and then they pump it around the trench where they're replacing the pipe, and then it has to go into a manhole. And the manhole that we needed to use was out in M Street. So the contractor was trying to get out of M Street and to the next new manhole as soon as they could, but it took a little bit longer. But we are through there now, and so M Street's been open for a little while, at least this week.
All right, but Fifth, just north of M, is still closed. In that one block there, and I have the opportunity to drive by almost on a daily basis. Yeah. I've seen some huge equipment there. What exactly is going in? Give me some sizes. What are you dealing with there?
Oh yeah. So the reason that it's been taking longer than we thought is we didn't do a full drilling categorization of the soil there. You know, we do a lot of digging in the ground around the town, so we have generally a pretty good idea of what the soils look like. In this case, there is a large layer of sandy loam that we didn't anticipate was going to be there. And the groundwater is also very high from some of those storm events that we've had recently. So the combination of a high groundwater table that's really flowing down towards the river and that sandy loam material is causing the trench walls to cave in pretty often. So it's been really difficult for the contractor to get through there. So the ground's wet. We're having cave-in issues. And the dirt underneath where the sewer line is also really soft. So the big excavator that they have, they've got this really cool, well, at least I think it's cool, but there's this big hopper, right, which is basically a big funnel that they put in rocks into it. It's attached to that really big excavator you see down there. And they can flip a little switch, and it has a conveyor belt that goes underneath the excavator, and it spits out clean rock into their bucket that they can put in the trench. So it's really slick because they need a big excavator to reach as deep as they are for that sewer line. But then they don't have to turn the excavator around as often within that tight space, and they can put rock in there.
How deep have they had to go?
About 9 feet.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Which isn't too abnormal, but the kind of soil in there is a little bit abnormal for the first town.
Is this running behind schedule?
It is. Yeah, we're a little bit behind schedule. The contractor's doing everything that they can to provide a good product and keep production up. But they've been actually having to cut some of the pipes in half and do like kind of half sections of pipe, which has hurt their production. We've been using a lot more of what we call ballast rock, which are really large rocks that we put in the bottom of the trench to stabilize the trench so you can put the new pipe on there. And we had a big bid quantity for that, but we're using more of it than we anticipated.
All right, so price has gone up?
Well, right now we're still within the bid for what it is, but at this rate we're monitoring it, and we'll probably overrun some of those quantities for the ballast rock as well as some of the three-quarter minus rock that we put back in the trench. So I think at the end of it we will be exceeding those quantities.
Okay, between N and M right now, how long will it reopen soon? What is the timetable here?
Yeah, I think we'll get that one reopened here within the next week, and then we'll close the next block. And so the contractor is going to keep working towards the downtown
core. So we're going all the way up to G, is that right?
Yep, in between H and G on 5th Street, there's a manhole right at the alley there, and that's where we're going to stop with the sewer portion of it. When the contractor has finished that, they will fall back and then redo the stormwater system as well. It's in a shallower trench. So it's important to get the deep part done first, refill it back in, and then we'll fall back and start doing the stormwater. So M Street will be closed again probably in about a month for a period of time. We'll notice everybody.
Yeah, give us a heads up.
Yeah. So the stormwater portion of it, we're going to put in a water quality manhole down where it terminates at the Rogue River, which will be really cool. We've been trying to put those in everywhere we can at they call them outfalls in our system. But it's got a trash and material separator in it that our crews can then come in and clean out reasonably efficiently. It's kind of the last line of defense before it gets to the river. So that'll be at the actual river, and then we need to replace the pipe through M Street along 5th Street there and then continue up 5th Street. So there'll be another closure of M Street, but we'll let everybody know.
All right. So right now, all of the work has been done between N and M Street right now.
That's okay. Correct.
That's where the project started. Will it go all the way to the river once you get the upper portion done?
Yeah, so they'll do the sewer first, which will go all the way up to between G and H, and then they'll start at the river and put in that water quality manhole for the stormwater system, and then they'll go all the way up to G Street with the stormwater as well.
Now, we've known this has been coming for a long time. We talked about this on this program several months ago, as a matter of fact.
Yep.
So what kind of feedback have you gotten now that it's really happened out there and it has people's attention? What are the people along 5th Street telling you? Are you getting feedback?
We have got a little bit of feedback, and some of the residents that live along 5th Street were concerned about whether or not they could park in front of their residence during the construction. And so we're trying to keep it really, you know, small closures instead of doing the entire closure. It's just a block-by-block basis. The contractor has a person that is dedicated to walking out and making contact with the property owners ahead of scheduled to let them know like the next week's planned events. So they're on a first name basis with these folks, and they're letting them in and out as needed into their driveways. But it's an inconvenience for sure.
Oh, well, no question about. But that just goes to show you. I think where I was going with this is some of the infrastructure underneath the ground here in Grants Pass is very, very, very old, and that's what we're dealing with right now. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, it is fair. In the sewer system, the wastewater collection system, one of the bigger things that we fight is called infiltration and inflow, and that is when the pipes get gaps or holes in them that allow the groundwater to infiltrate the pipe. It doesn't seem like a real big deal, but then all of that groundwater, which is clean water, goes all the way down to the wastewater plant, and then we need to actually treat the clean groundwater, and that's expensive to treat already clean groundwater. So a lot of these projects we've targeted because we knew that there was a high rate of infiltration and inflow. And this one, once we actually started cutting into it and bypass pumping, we found out that there was an incredible amount of infiltration and inflow, especially during those storm events, almost to the point where we couldn't pump it fast enough to get it around the trench.
Right. Well, we don't have any atmospheric rivers in the forecast right now, but we still have a significant amount of rain. Is that still impacting the project?
It is, mostly just because the groundwater table is high. I would predict that if we were doing the same project right now in 2 or 3 months when groundwater is lower, we wouldn't be dealing with as much of an issue with the cave-ins with that material because the groundwater wouldn't be flowing through it. So, yeah, it's got an impact on it, but we also plan for it.
All right, so come on spring.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Right now on the calendar, how long is this project projected to take?
We should be done in the July area. So they're going to come through and temporarily patch a lot of these trenches. Once they get done with the sewer and the storm, then we'll come back and we're going to repave entire sections of the road, as well as just some trench patches where the asphalt's in better condition.
Well, you just answered my next question about pavement, because mm-hmm. anywhere you drive around town, there's been construction going on, replacing pipes, or mm-hmm. residents coming in, the streets are not smooth.
No, that's for sure, yeah.
So when this is all done, we'll have a great place. We'll have smooth sewage and everything's yep. flowing in the right direction and a smooth street to drive on.
Yep, it should be. Along with that, it's a requirement by the state and the federal laws that we redo the ADA ramps associated with these projects as well. So we're redoing some of the ADA ramps have already been completed along Fifth Street, and we'll be tackling all of them. The main exception, though, is that we aren't tackling the ones on H Street right now, H and Fifth, because those will be part of the Owl Plaza upgrades.
Ah.
So our pipes are going to get in and out of there. We're only going to trench patch that section up there between G and H, and then the Owl Plaza project will come through and redo the ADA ramps as well as the road surface.
All right. Fascinating. Well, we've answered a lot of questions that I had this morning so far. More to come right here. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show, and we'll continue in a moment.
Hey there, it's Nathaniel.
Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show continues. Ladies and gentlemen, city staff is in. We're talking about public works right now and a couple of topics, but mainly the construction going on Fifth Street. Wade, have we followed that topic all the way through? Is there anything else we need to know about that topic in terms of time frame or what to expect?
I think that's probably about it. We're still working on the design for the Owl Plaza reconstruction, which will be Fifth Street, including the intersections of G and H and the Owl parking lot. And we're working on the design actively right now. We're trying to engage an electrical engineer to help us with the lighting plan to make it a really nice gathering space. And right now we're trying to get that work completed, or at least kicked off this fall. So I think we're on track for that, but we're working hard to get that one out.
So it won't be quite at the end of this, but will be shortly following. We'll see that Owl Street or that Owl Plaza begin.
Yep, which is going to be a really great project. The plans that we have so far, it's all going to be kind of one level, so there won't be curb and gutter in the area. So the street will kind of flow into the parking lots. There will be bollards and things in place to keep vehicles from driving where they shouldn't and try to keep pedestrian activity safe.
But that sounds like a challenge.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah, but it's going to be a really great gathering space. We're looking at some stamped concrete in different areas to delineate the parking areas from the driving lanes and from the pedestrian areas. The city just finished a really great campaign for buy a brick, so you can put your name on those, and we're going to put those bricks in as part of the project. So we're really excited. I think the downtown businesses are excited for it too. It'll be difficult while we're in construction, but it's going to be great for the downtown.
Is there an artist rendering that we can see?
Yeah, I think we do have one.
Is that on the website?
Let me check. I'll write a note of that. Let me see. I know that we have one.
But that would be interesting to see for the public, and I'm almost surprised it's not out there yet.
I think it is, actually. But I would check the website. I know it was on the Buy a Brick campaign. There was a rendering on that, mm-hmm. for sure. So it probably still is on the website. And you bring up a great point. Folks should keep in touch with our website and our Facebook posts as we're talking about street closures on Fifth Street, because we're going to keep those updates flowing out on that. So when you think you're going to have to be on Fifth Street, you might want to check our website to know which blocks are going to be closed.
All right. And you're on Facebook, too. How do I friend you?
GrantsPassOregon.gov. I how you friend us, I'm actually not a Facebooker, so I can't answer that question.
Not a Facebooker.
Yeah.
All right.
Our website, and click on the F and probably take you right there.
All right. I'm certain that people can find that.
I guarantee.
So all of the updates will be there in addition to probably that rendering that is available. All right. Mm-hmm. What else do we need? What else do you have up your sleeve, Jason?
We always have a lot up our sleeve. Just a quick water plant update. Our construction is planning to kick off in May. At this juncture, we're still working through some grant issues with Oregon Emergency Management and FEMA, but we are finalizing the last series of loans with Business Oregon for Safe Drinking Water Revolving Loan Funds. And as we recall, those also had a very large grant component. So that's pretty awesome. And we're working with EPA to convert a grant that was awarded through congressional appropriation from a construction to an engineering grant, which will make those dollars easier for us to spend.
All right, bring me up to speed, or at least get me on the right track here, because I know we were looking for a big grant to apply to this. Where do we stand right now? Is that what you were just telling me about?
Yeah, that's what we're still kind of working through with Oregon Emergency Management and FEMA. It's just a challenge right now with all of the changes at the federal level, you know, and where those are trickling down. As of our last conversation last week, it's still kind of moving forward, so we're hopeful. If not, we're working on Plan B, which hopefully we'll get in front of council in a couple of weeks, which is that we can finance the rest of the project without the grant.
All right. So if that grant's not in place by the time we break ground, do we lose it, or is it still something that could come in and we can adjust to? What's the status?
We're working on that as well. Technically, if we break ground, we lose the grant.
Okay.
So that's been pushing that construction start date back farther and farther and farther, and we're reaching a point where we can't continue to push it back farther. But we also believe that because we do meet all of the conditions of the EHP or the environmental all of the federal requirements, mm-hmm. that the breaking ground really should be more of a technicality. So we've actually asked formally from FEMA to respond to a request to do some preliminary activities, temporary power, temporary water service, get the temporary trailers installed, get the gravel roads installed, you know, the temporary roads, because these are all things that while they do constitute breaking ground, they're not really related to the construction activities, and they're all things that get taken out at the end of the project. So we're really trying to work within the system but keep the project moving forward, especially with inflation getting ready to kick back off and potentially tariffs impacting some of the costs. The sooner we get started, the less expensive it will be for our ratepayers.
All right. The current situation that we're facing right now on a governmental level, on a national level, going to have impact on this project?
Yes.
Okay. Have we taken steps to get some of those materials on board already at
so
a lower price?
We have, actually. We're trying to finalize some contracts for purchasing those. We also have to comply with conditions BABA, Buy America, Build America. So we're restructuring some
BABA.
Of our – yes, it's called BABA. Anyway, we're restructuring some of our bid packages to comply with those. So we're working on that. And then also the contractor, because the council did award the GMP, they are free to pre-purchase some of those materials as they can.
All right. So we're working hard to keep that cost as low as possible.
We have to.
Do we have a bottom line yet?
Well, we do. For the treatment plant proper, it is in the $99 million. I'm pulling that out of my memory, but I want to say that the council approved the GMP right at $98 or $99 million. There's still probably another 10 to 15, maybe a little bit more over at the intake structure that we're still finalizing the design on. We were waiting on that final design until we work through some of the FEMA BRIC grant requirements, because they're going to dictate how some of that design plays out.
Do we have a projected time for a shovel in the ground to break ground yet, or are we going to delay that again?
Right now, tentatively, we are targeting that mid-May.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to delay it again? I cannot answer that question.
A little over a month, then, and we'll see.
We're right now on a almost day-by-day, week-by-week basis on this project. Things are so dynamic, and they're changing so fast. We're just trying to move the ball down the field.
All right. You talked about the government grants coming in for this. And we know that government moves slow. Government gate is just incredibly slow, snail-moving. Has it been delayed by what we see going on nationally, or is this just a normal process?
A little of both, I would say. To be honest, I will agree that FEMA needs an overhaul. Some of their processes are cumbersome.
Granted.
are cumbersome. But some of it also is the administration asking FEMA to step back and look at their processes and make sure that they are in alignment with the current administration's goals. And so there was a period of time where FEMA just took a step back, and so they were not working on processing grant applications, and that has slowed us down a little bit. They're back at it now, and as I said, as of our last call last week, you know, the process is still moving forward, and they were moving it from grant review. They have a name for it, and I'm not going to get it, but it's the person who pushes the button that says approved. So we were moving from one phase to the next.
Say a call to Congressman Benz could get that person who pushes the button to move a little faster.
We have been in frequent contact with Mr. Benz's office, as well as Wyden and Merkley, to be quite honest, because we need everybody helping out on this one.
Just by circumstances, our timing doesn't seem to be the best in the world. Is that fair?
I think if we could have picked a worse time on a calendar, I don't know that we could have.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Bi-Mart's latest savings book has a bonus.
Welcome back, everyone. Tuesday Talk Show in progress. The phone lines are open. If you have a question or comment for our guest to find out what's going on with your streets, it's 541-472-1270. When you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment to our guest directly. One quick note here, a programming note coming up. You may be aware that there are six school board seats up for election in the upcoming May election. We have all 12 candidates for those seats agreeing to appear on our radio station. That will begin tomorrow in the same time frame, from 9:30 to 10:30. Tomorrow's guests, Corinne Godfrey, Cassie Wilkins, Cameron Camp, and Bill Ertill. All right. Thank you very much, everyone. Let's see. We already have a call coming in that quickly. So let's say good morning. You're on the air. You have a question or comment for our guest today.
Yes, good morning. I just had a question. I was procrastinating on the purchase of BrickOp, and I don't know if this is something you gentlemen have details on, but I heard multiple mentions it may have passed. Is that correct, or is there an option still to get in and purchase a brick?
So that's a great question.
I know we closed that out, although I don't know if we're fully done with the order. My best response would be if you would call 450-6000 and we'll get you to that department that will be able to answer that question specifically. You still may have an opportunity to order a brick.
Okay, great. Now it's 450-6000?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, and you guys have a great day.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for your call. All right, we'll continue here. We're talking about public works here. The Fifth Street project has been under heavy discussion. Here are the things going on around town. Al Street Plaza coming up. What else do we need to be aware of? What else are you going to mess with my commute to work?
Hopefully not with your commute to work, but we are starting on Thursday a project to re-roof the municipal building and the council chambers, which is long overdue. It has some significant issues that we're going to be taking care of. However, what that means is that parking and traffic in the immediate area around the corner of A Street and 6th Street are going to be disrupted periodically. We will be posting updates again on our Facebook and on the website. We will be able to maintain foot traffic in and out of the building, but the parking in the back of the building will be greatly limited because the contractor is going to be needing that room to access the roof.
You're talking in the parking lot between the courthouse and the courthouse.
Thank you for that clarification. Yes, okay. Yeah, in that limited area parking back there. So the side against the municipal building will be incredibly limited. We are encouraging people, if you're doing business at City Hall, to try and go ahead and use the A Street side because that will remain open for the majority of it, of the project. But it is going to be pretty disruptive.
All right. Will it disrupt the city's business as usual? Council meetings?
No, they have been expressly told when they can't work on the council chamber. So like workshops, they will be avoiding those. And then most of their work is going to be done before 5 o'clock or, you know, so with the night meetings will not be an issue.
So it won't disrupt any function of the city specifically?
No, just the staff, you know, we'll have to listen to banging and equipment running all for a while as they do all the work.
All right. But that'll keep the water out.
It will. Very important. It's really important. The project, the building is a beautiful building, tile roof, integral gutters. It makes this beautiful picture of a building. Unfortunately, it does not work. Probably did for the first, 20 years, but now 30 years later, 40 years later, It's a problem, and the water now is getting under all of the soffits and causing a lot of dry rot and some other issues. So we're going to be fixing all of that problem.
Okay. How long will it fix last? You said we've had this one 30, 40 years?
Yeah. Oh, the next one should be at that or more, 50 years. We're putting on a metal roof with an external gutter system that will be easily able to be serviced. Should be, like I said, a 50-year-plus roof system.
All right. So this will keep the water out. Do we get any additional benefits in terms of extra insulation or heating and cooling costs?
We do. We are adding a little bit of extra insulation as part of the project, which should help a little bit. The way the building is designed, it doesn't make a big difference, but we are actually getting a little bit of credit back from the Energy Trust, I believe, on that. Even though it's just a little one, we'll take whatever we can get.
A little credit helps a long time when you're talking about projects the size the city is dealing with.
And the other nice thing is, you know, it will clean up the look of the building. It'll get it to blend back in. We'll be redoing the soffits so that all these areas of like water stains that you can see, or on the far west of the building, there's actually just big gaping holes where the soffit is actually fallen. It's really bad. In addition, it will be performing the task of replacing all the handrail. The handrail is becoming loose is the best word for it. It moves a lot more than it should. So we'll be redoing that and strengthening it.
And impact will just be visual in terms, well, the parking area.
Yeah, course, parking is going to be the primary impact. Occasionally, we will have to block off one entrance or another as work is being done in various areas to try and make it safe for people to get in and out. You don't want to be running people under where they're pulling tiles off.
But for the most part,
their heads.
The A Street side will still be accessible, and I can
for
still,
most time. And then there will be a period of time when they'll have to move over there, and then we'll open up another side. But yes, we will have pedestrian routes. They should be all clearly marked and delineated with construction ribbon and all of that, so it should be very clear.
All right. What are the projects you have coming up that's going to affect my life?
Gotta be Allen Creek.
Well, right, yeah. So I was going to bring up Allen Creek. I think I've been coming in here for about 7 years saying we're going to start Allen Creek, and we actually did. We actually did start construction on Allen Creek, and that's really exciting. So right now we have a local contractor is the underground subcontractor for the project, and they are relocating the Grants Pass irrigation facilities within that Allen Creek Road, which is from Denton Trail to Harbeck. And so they're relocating the GPID facilities before they turn the Grants Pass irrigation on, which should be next month sometime. So all of those residents will still be able to use their irrigation facilities.
So no interruption there.
Nope, no interruption there. And then the project is going to go all summer, and it'll close down sometime this fall, and then they'll come back in and finish it next summer. So
while the project is ongoing, what kind of impacts will we see in terms of commuting?
Well, right now, you know, that road has been blocked off at Denton Trail with a bunch of giant concrete blocks for a long time. And they're going to leave those in place for as long as possible. So really, it's never been used other than for local traffic. So the local residences will be impacted as they're working around construction. But the traveling public hasn't been using it anyways. And we won't open it up to through traffic until next summer sometime.
All right. So, and this is going to be done in two phases then?
Yeah. They'll work all summer, and then they'll close it down, and then they'll come back the following summer and finish it up. So they're going to do half the road at a time. So they'll do the east side first, and then the following year they'll come through and do the west side.
All right.
Yeah. So that's exciting.
Pretty easy. You've been pretty easy on me so far. You've got M Street open again, and we know what's happening with the water treatment plant. Are we missing anything in terms of public works, gentlemen?
We're finishing up a reservoir over here in the Meadowood area. That project has been flying along. They finished wrapping and spraying the outside.
That one's been pretty smooth from what I hear.
It has been amazing. The contractor has done an incredible job. We're actually really excited. I think we're going to start filling it in May and get it in service, which is going to take it's going to make a big difference for the water pressures in those areas. Very excited about that.
All right, so people are looking forward to that.
All right. Yes.
We also, another project that's going on, if you drive out in the North Valley Merlin area, the county is using their ARPA funds to extend the water line to the airport. And it's our water line that they're extending. They're also doing some sewer stuff, but that's not part of our system. But anyways, the water is getting extended along Brookside, so some folks listening might have been in a little bit of a construction zone on Monument at the Brookside intersection. But Anyways, they're out of that intersection now. And
so that's the city water going out to the airport here right now. So is the city involved in the construction at all, or is it all county?
Yeah, well, the county is handling the lion's share of it. It's their project. But we are inspecting the water line as it gets installed, along with the bedding, and then all of the rock that's getting compacted in around the pipe bedding zone. And then once it comes up to the roadway surface, the county takes over.
All right. So a situation that is... cooperative.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, and it's a good project for them, and it's a good one for us, too, because the project is something that we likely wouldn't have prioritized our local funds for. But as it is, they're going to create a loop out in that area, so they'll connect into our existing water line that's kind of close to the airport. And then we'll be able to keep the water a little bit fresher and clean it better and have more redundancy in the North Valley area.
All right. Are we going to be paid for that water?
Are we going to be paying for that water?
No, are we going to be paid for the water?
Oh.
So we are. Yeah. The airport, if they connect and use water, will pay. Same thing as the users out in the industrial park that they connect and they pay for that water. There's only a series of a few houses immediately adjacent to the landfill that are actually being provided water at no cost. And that is because there was some groundwater contamination from the landfill plume.
All right. Is this going to correct that?
So those houses are already connected. This should have no effect, except to make their service more reliable because it's going to create that loop.
All right. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, good news all around then. So good job, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wait.
Well, I got more projects unless you can cut me off.
No, he's got go, man.
Okay, yeah. Another one that may impact you later this year, we're going to put the Hillcrest reconstruction project out to bid, which is from 9th to Beacon. And so we'll be widening that out with a center turn lane in one area in there and installing sewer along that. So the folks up in that area of town have been unfortunately dealing with a lot of road closures along Hillcrest over the last few years as ODOT did the seismic bridge retrofitting and some of that work. And then also the county did some work on 10th Street with their with a sidewalk. Anyways, those two projects are going to tie in really nicely to our Hillcrest project. We'll connect into the county sidewalk. ODOT put in some sidewalk underneath the overpass, and it'll all tie together really nice. But this year, we'll get that project done this year, but it will be impactful.
Will be impactful. This time, it's on the city.
It is on the city this time, yeah. We can't blame anybody.
All right. Can't point in any direction. Yeah. All right. I know you've got a long list there. How deep do we need to go?
Another one that is likely to happen this year would be the Mill Street sewer replacement. So near Copeland, Sand and Gravel, Masterbrand in that area, we're going to redo the sewer line through there. It was part of our master plan to get replaced, and it just has a really non-advantageous sewer alignment. And I say that to say it's got a bunch of 90-degree manholes in it, which if you can think about trying to make water flow somewhere, if it has to hit a wall and change direction, it's not real good, especially in the sewer system. So we're going to put a little bit better alignment in there and upsize that pipe to accommodate the future and kind of the northeast part of town. But that project will be getting kicked off sometime this summer, and construction will finish up this fall. But,
all right. Where is that going to impact me who's driving from, say, Home Depot trying to get back to M Street?
So if you are at Home Depot, I would encourage you to use E or F Street.
Go another way.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
How's it going to impact those businesses around there, at Copeland in particular?
It will. We're going to work with them very closely to make sure that they can get their employees and their customers in and out. So we'll be in touch with them. But we haven't finalized out the work schedule just yet.
All right. Anything else we need to do here immediately?
We're still shooting to do an overlay on D Street from about Mill over to Foothill. So it's going to be a long overlay section. So we're in design right now on those ADA ramps, and we're going to do that project. That could be impactful. That'll be later this summer, probably in the August, September time frame. And... oh, this one's kind of fun. Riverside Park Stage. Oh, you almost pushed a button. Riverside Park Stage. We're working through some permitting to get that one done, but it looks like we finally found a good location. That's going to be for kind of a clamshell for a band stage, and we're going to try to get that installed this summer as well, which will be really cool. That way we can bring back concerts in the park and some of those festivities.
How quickly will it take to get that in?
Well, once we actually get it going, it isn't going to be too bad, probably a month or two. It's a concrete stage that has some anchors in it for that clamshell, which is a collapsible clamshell that goes on top of it. We're also running three-phase power down from kind of the Park Street area, which we'll just take some conduit and pull in some cable through. So it'll be pretty quick once we get started.
Okay, but that won't be available for concerts in the park this year.
No.
Next year.
Yeah, we were really trying to, but there were some new rules that came through with floodplain management and some endangered species stuff that we're working through.
Right. Concerts still going back into the park this year, though. There's a new space for that. We'll talk about that some other time. Mm-hmm. All right, gentlemen, I've got to do a couple of things here. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show. Welcome back, everyone. Tuesday Talk Show in progress here. We have at least one more project to talk about here, and that's the upcoming roundabout, the first roundabout in Grants Pass. And quite frankly, I was asked about that yesterday, and here you are.
So the roundabout is happening, and it's coming to an intersection near you at Foothill and Agnes, but we're probably 3 to 4 years out. There's a lot of moving pieces. I'm sure that some of the listeners remember we had to do a repair in that intersection because it was really bumpy, and it was spilling coffee and messing up alignments and all those
heavy
things.
Heavy traffic goes through. I know heavy. I'm talking about weight.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you got the UPS as well as Robco has their rock pit, uses that as a major haul facility among many others in the industrial area. But we did that repair, and the traffic control, even though we noticed it, we thought pretty well, it really snowballed on us. There was just too many vehicles for us to handle. So we're looking into really good, smart, efficient ways to get a detour around that so that we can close the whole intersection and build it all at once instead of trying to go half and half. It'll save us money. It'll be a lot quicker from a time perspective, but it's a challenging area to get traffic around. So we're about 3 years out.
It may take 3 years to figure out how to route traffic around that.
Well, give me a little more credit than that. It's the money.
All right, tell me
how. It's the money portion.
Let's throw that gauntlet down.
Yeah. No, it's the money portion. So we're still trying to accumulate funding while still doing these other projects like D Street overlays. Also, the right-of-way, we need to acquire some right-of-way from the ODOT utility yard there, which they're amiable to. However, it's a jurisdictional transfer with a portion of Foothill, and you have to go through ODOT's right-of-way division, and it's been a process. So it's probably going to take another year or two to get that right-of-way secured.
All right. So roundabout coming, but not today.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. I've got about 8 minutes left here. And is there anything else on Public Works that we need to deal with that the public needs to know? Jason, you want to deal with that? You can't shake your head. It's radio.
And you said you were going to sit there and be quiet.
I got one more project.
He's on a roll.
So Highland Loop parking lot. Council just awarded the contract for the Highland Loop parking lot, which is the northern access to the Dollar Mountain Trail system. And we're going to be getting that started here within the next month. So at the end of Highland Loop, if you ever drive up there, there's a Highland Estates that is under construction currently by one of our developers up there. And then just past that, there's a yellow gate, and we're going to open up that yellow gate, and we're going to put in a parking lot up there through the city's property. And so that's going to be a really good facility and another access point, so you can kind of do a hike-through option as the Parks Department is working on finishing up the phase one of the trail system up there.
That could be a very exciting project up there.
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay, Wade, any more?
That's it. I think.
Want to go back and talk about 8th Street or 5th Street again? The big machinery there? No.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that was fun. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. Once again, we're down to about 6 minutes now. Let's go back to Aaron. Aaron, you've got us started here and have been very, very quiet just listening to what's going on here.
I have been. Yeah. Wade's been great talking about all the projects and stuff.
See why you brought him.
I know. But, yeah, Dollar Mountain, we were finishing on that. That's such a great piece to be able to see that go from a piece of property that the city was able to acquire and then ultimately us slowly build that out, increase opportunities for recreational access. And with the recent trail development of like 11, 12 miles of new trails. And that's just the beginning. It has so much more expansion and growth that can happen there. It's just neat to see a project like that actually come through and be completed.
All right.
So, yeah.
What else do people need to know about what's going on in City Hall right now?
Well,
besides your meeting this afternoon.
Yeah, we've got our meeting this afternoon, and that's that'll be a good meeting for us to address the unhoused issue and that kind of thing we're talking about. We've got an Arbor Day tree planting at Eckstein Park at 10 a.m. on April 14th to celebrate Arbor Day, and people are willing to are more than welcome to come out, and we encourage you to do so for that. You can find more information on our website on that. We have our normal workshops coming up where we actually are focusing on our upcoming workshop on a number of our partners that we have when it comes to economic development and workforce development, et cetera, where we have So Ready or Chamber of Commerce, Small Business Development are all going to come and give us updates on April 14th to council. And that's always a great time to hear about all the things that we're doing. And it's a realization that we are not an island. And that we, together with our partners, can do great things. And so we're looking forward to seeing what things that have been going on there. And then we've got, of course, our April 16th meeting. We've got a proclamation for drinking water April 16th, actually. So that'll be great. And moving forward with strategic planning on April 23rd. And as I mentioned before, once that's solidified, we'll have our budget meetings coming up. Starting in May 13th, we'll have some budget meetings, and looking forward to going through the budget with the budget committee.
All right. What should people take away for the day's meeting, other than what our friends in Public Works have outlined here?
Well, we're definitely busy trying to do, and just Public Works is one example. We're definitely busy trying to improve our community and making a positive impact on people's quality of life. And Public Works is one easy way you can see that, where you go from a road that is being improved or developed, or we're increasing capacity, to other things that also help create quality of life, like parks, Dollar Mountain, increase recreational opportunities, to all the other departments and divisions that we provide services to. The city is very busy, but we are also always wanting to know more and how we can do better. So again, it's extremely important. Please reach out to me, reach out to Wade or Jason if it's a Public Works issue. You can call us 450-6000. You can email us. Our emails are also online. You can stop in. And also, council is interested, not only just staff and my colleagues, but council is also interested in how we're doing. And you can, we have a council, mayor council email. It's on our website. You can email mayor council your questions, concerns. You can also come to any of our meetings and our business meetings on the first and third Wednesday. There's an opportunity for public comment. I say that because we're at our best when we hear from you, our customers and our community members. So please reach out to us. We love to hear kudos, and we also love to hear how you think we can improve on things.
All right. Gentlemen, I want to thank you very much. Most enlightening program today for me. I appreciate your expertise. And once again, thank you very much. You've been listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Stay tuned for the musical stylings of Alex Bauer right here at 1270 Radio.